This is some of the first evidence-based research that is done on the crisis counseling, the federal crisis counseling program. So we're very excited about it, as you can imagine. And we're seeing data that is actually consistent with the general data in the field, in the disaster field. I am sure I am not going to do sufficient coverage of Rachel Cole's presentation, but I'm going to make an attempt to do that in defining the role, the federal role in disaster response. Health and Human Services has recently put out the behavioral health concept of operations, what we call the CONOPS, the way that we should be working together in a federal response in a disaster. Rachel Cole is probably one of the longest-term disaster behavioral health responders we have in this country, and so we're very fortunate that she is with HHS in the position to be able to help us to coordinate and influence policy in a way that can help us increase and improve our services to disaster survivors. Rachel indicates she had no disclosure, so we're going to go right into looking at what she's talking about here is how health matters to federal, state, and local stakeholders. Who has the role in developing and delivering behavioral health needs, and how does this concept of operation define the roles of the federal government in disaster behavioral health to make sure that it's integrated? One of the goals of the CONOPS is to work with the integration of public health and mental health. When we look at behavioral health concerns affecting survivors, we're talking about survivors as one of our primary populations, obviously families, those are directly affected victims. Responders, we've learned over the years that responders are highly important, and we need to look at them not just in the work that they do, but also how they're affected. And then we need to look at our consumers of mental health services. Obviously, for HHS and SAMHSA, this is a population that is our primary population of care. And so we want to make sure that disaster effects don't make things worse for them, again, in our public and public mental health systems. These are the people who generally are accessing our services on a regular basis, and we want to make sure that we attend to them and help to mitigate the development of more problems. This just shows even more so than what I talked about before, the number of disasters going up worldwide. I think this is a stark picture of what we're seeing, and today and what we're experienced over the past weekend is a good example of that. The research tells us that there's a link between exposure to trauma and the onset of other health care needs. And again, we're talking about cardiovascular articles by Dr. Silver and her colleagues out in UC Irvine. Very good data telling us that there's an increased risk of cardiovascular illness when people have been exposed to disaster. Musculoskeletal and neurological illnesses, as well as the psychiatric diagnoses, PTSD, anxiety, depression, and substance abuse disorders. So the costs associated with these are significant. And of course, we need to pay attention to this because, as you heard Dr. Mack say, our funds are decreasing, not increasing. The footprint here is just an exacerbation. The medical footprint is obviously larger, but we need to pay attention to the geographical as well. So this is an interesting slide. What Rachel Cole was talking about with this slide is saying that the people did not evacuate in Katrina. And the interesting thing about this is that they just, people have this perception, this idea, that they don't think that the storm is going to be bad. Some of it is our public risk communications. Some of that falls to the media, who tends to not look at the behavioral health implications of how they report on these disasters. And some of it is our lack of putting out public education information and how we do that, which is why it's so important when you see our public officials having to do that. One of the biggest concerns that we have is that there are these high-risk areas that we're going to have to get people to understand the need to evacuate. You saw it on the television this weekend. People don't evacuate. When we asked people after Katrina if they would change their behavior, 33% said they would not evacuate if asked. So we have to do something about this. It's one of our jobs going forward, a very, very big concern. People still don't think that they need to evacuate. They're not sure or don't trust the messaging or think everything's going to be okay. And some of it is how we are. We run around saying, go about your business as normal. Meanwhile, we're trying to protect ourselves. We want to make sure we're cared for and evacuated. But our messaging is inconsistent with, we don't give people the type of behavioral messaging that's going to help them to understand risk. And so that's an important message for us. The game changers here. 9/11 certainly put disaster behavioral health on the map for the whole country, in some ways for the whole world. The anxiety and the fear and the implication of this large-scale disaster and the fact that it was terrorism was a significant change for us in our thinking, and basically it put behavioral health on the map. Then in Katrina, what we saw was that people's perceptions about what was happening, not evacuating. Then after they did evacuate, what was their perception of the federal response and our lack of integration, the difficulties that we had trying to work together. It was very, very difficult. The feds were not able to coordinate enough to meet the local needs and to support the needs. So that certainly was our lesson. Haiti was a significant game changer in that it was the first time that HHS put out disaster responders in another country and did this in coordination with public health. So that was a pretty significant game changer for us. And then in the Deepwater Horizon, which very, very interesting, all the messaging in the early days were health messages about the oil and how it was going to affect the environment. And basically that didn't materialize. But we still had these massive needs in those areas that were affected. This became a disaster behavioral health response. So these were all significant lessons learned for us. Mr. Barone is going to talk a little bit more about the different framework, the National Disaster Recovery Framework, so I'm going to let him go into more detail about that. But there are different strategies from the different offices so that you can see it's a little difficult to do the coordination that we're talking about. This is an interesting slide, the stew of behavioral disaster health response. Basically, this is a very small example of all the agencies that are put into the mix in a response. And the point here is that in one state and in one disaster, you can have a whole different set of criteria and different agencies that go into this stew. You might have a different way to make your stew than somebody else, and all the states do it differently. They have different agencies that automatically respond, or ones that don't respond, ones that have to be invited to respond, and at different times they may choose to do that. So the job of coordinating is different across states and localities, which makes it a little bit harder for the federal government to be able to respond. A little bit of humor here. The general public tends to think that we procrastinate and have meetings. The local and state government think that we kind of sit by and watch them do the work, and actually there's a little bit of truth to that. It's actually one of our goals. As we talked about earlier, we're a states' rights government. If the state and the locality can respond, these are the people, as Dr. Mack said, that are best able to serve their neighbors, their own community. Our job is support, and so we're hoping that we're doing that effectively and not just laying around like the bears, although they look pretty comfortable. And we, of course, think we're superheroes, but we've, in a number of ways, dug a few holes for ourselves. And what we've done more recently is tried to work our way out of those holes so that we can get involved when and where we need to in a very coordinated way. But it's difficult. HHS is the lead for public health and medical services. And again, this is what includes behavioral health. But there are different roles that HHS plays, and so they're working with all of these organizations and trying to coordinate. Collaboration, communication, it's quite a job. The ASPR, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness Response, is the only organization whose sole job is to coordinate all the services of all these agencies in terms of disaster behavioral health. So they're quite unique, and they're a very skilled group of people and have really been working very hard at this. So they were asked to create the pandemic and all hazards preparedness. They were created under the Preparedness Act after Katrina, as we mentioned before, and there's the website there so that you can get more information about the act. looking at preparedness, planning, response, and recovery, as I talked about before, to the specific populations, building the federal emergency capabilities, looking at countermeasures for research and advanced development so that we can start to do some more preparedness and prevention works, and of course, strengthening the capabilities of our healthcare system. Our hospitals are the first place people go. Actually, some of the research says the first place people go who aren't injured go to church. They go to their faith-based organizations. Churches, synagogues, they gather in those places. Whether they're religious or not, they go to their faith-based agencies first if they're not injured. Second, they go to the hospital. So we know that the public health and the faith-based agencies are the first place people go. And so we have to strengthen all those areas and make sure they're integrated into the system of response and coordinating the recovery. The mission is to look at the development of policy guidance and providing the type of technical assistance. As we said, our goal is to be supportive, not to do for the locality, but to provide them the services they need. And as you've probably heard over and over again, we're working towards community resilience, really building the internal capacity of the community to respond. So when we look at the plan, the disaster behavioral health concept of operations, again, the goal is to improve the coordination, the preparedness, the response efforts concerning behavioral health. We're looking at how we respond because we need to be prepared when the request comes in. As we said earlier, the state does need to make the request after an area has been presidentially declared. The governor makes the request to the president for federal support, usually when they feel like they're overwhelmed, they can't manage it themselves. In some circumstances, you get the, we're okay, we can do this, we're fine, and they don't want the feds, and in that case, we have to monitor and be ready to come in if things change. In situations, as you saw in Katrina, where the request isn't made, but lives are at stake, then we do have to come in, but then try and step back as soon as we can work more collaboratively with the state or the locality. And disaster behavioral health, our focus is on mitigating the development of mental health problems, stress, substance abuse, changes, behavioral health care infrastructure, looking at how to strengthen that. Again, we're looking at people with pre-existing conditions and trying to support individual risk and community resilience. So I'm going to move to a couple of slides here that talk specifically about the coordination structure and turn this over to Mr. Barone, who will continue with the federal response structure and talk to us as a responder from the field about what this how the structure has been working as a responder and where they've identified gaps that might be able to help us. Mr. Barone.
Thank you, April. I am intermittent under ASPR, but I don't have any mission orders right now, so I'm not speaking on behalf of ASPR, just trying to fill in for Rachel, who wasn't able to be here today. But what this slide illustrates here is the relationship between preparedness, the response side of the house, and also the NDRF, the National Disaster Response Framework, as you see it under the RSFs. There's sort of been some changes with PPD8 that integrates prevention and other protection realms, but this really is focusing on a lot of the preventative side of the prevention recovery and then responding. As you can see, there is a link between all of those. April mentioned earlier, and Amy mentioned earlier, that we spend, 10% of our time on the preparedness side, and that's really what we need to kind of enable us to respond effectively, is having this pre-disaster, pre-incident efforts. The HHS, this is part of the CONOPS, is part of a larger mission with an aim on focusing on forming resilience within the community. The CONOPS really is for HHS. It's not a document that locals and states are supposed to just take, copy, paste, and put into their plans, but reference them and look at the best practice and look at the content that's inside there by leveraging state assets, local assets, universities, academics, bringing the whole community together. And I'll get into more about the whole community and how we can integrate public health and disaster response, disaster behavioral health all together when I get into my presentation. You can see here it gives an understanding of what resources that HHS will be able to provide. And again, it's a concept. It's not actually an operational plan. And there are differences. At the federal level, we have different types of plans, and I'll also get into that in my presentation as well. So we can kind of see how this applies to local, state, and federal. And so, again, it helps, again, with the coordination. Now, the coordination here, this is a coordination across federal organizations and agencies. You saw the schematic that April had up that showed the complexity of HHS. The beauty of this CONOPS is that it was put together through a collaboration of all those agencies. And it is for HHS. It's not necessarily how states or how locals will integrate behavioral health. And this is Rachel's information here.